Some money is on the way for the Arab Spring.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. The World Bank this morning has unveiled a package totaling $6 billion to help Egypt and Tunisia with their government budgets. That follows uprisings in those countries that ended decades of dictatorships. President Obama is in Europe and has been calling for more international money to help countries in transition. Marketplace's John Dimsdale is with us live from Washington with the latest on that. Good morning, John.
Hello, Steve.
How about some specifics about the plan?
Yeah, the World Bank has this plan to spend the $6 billion over the next 2 years. Some of the money will go immediately to prop up the government budgets in Egypt and Tunisia, but at least $1 billion is going to be kept in reserve, and it'll be conditional on moves toward democratic elections or free market economies. And about a fourth of the money is going to be invested in development projects that would help support private companies so they can rebuild in those countries.
Do we see any other help coming down the pike from other countries, John?
Yeah, there's also an International Monetary Fund group that's currently in Egypt trying to assess the need for extra support. One problem that's sure to get their attention is the 50,000 refugees that have been fleeing neighboring Libya from the civil war that's going on there. There are already several UN refugee camps that have been overwhelmed. And all of these aid packages will be on the agenda for this week's G8 summit in France,
where President Obama will be. All right. Marketplace's John Dimsdale reporting from Washington for us. John, thanks.
You're welcome.
Defense Secretary Robert Gates will give a speech today at the American Enterprise Institute, perhaps the last time in his role he'll give a speech, to outline his vision of what the defense budget should be. It's a budget that topped $660 billion in fiscal 2010, the biggest military budget in the world and nearly 20% of the total federal budget. And now that Congress is in budget-cutting mode, there are eyes and scissors focused on the Defense Department. Michael O'Hanlon is a senior fellow at the Brookings Institution, and he's with us from Washington. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Nice to be with you.
Thank you. So a couple of wars going on and the situation in Libya as well. How do you cut from the defense budget in these times?
Well, the short answer is that you don't really cut until you've wound down the wars, or at least this large ongoing effort in Afghanistan in particular. And that's certainly been what's implied or contained in any of the budget plans that Secretary Gates has spelled out so far, including the one released to Congress in February, which included the $100 billion in cuts relative to what had previously been expected, because we have to really wrap up most of the Afghanistan mission before cuts can be possible.
And isn't this kind of like then a perfect storm? We're trying to find ways to cut the budget, and the defense budget is a big chunk of it, right? So why not look at this and say, hey, you know, this is one place that we can really cut?
Well, I think it is one place, but let's say we were to do what President Obama's proposed in his April 13th speech, we're still only going to be saving something like $50 billion a year out of a $1 trillion deficit. And it's going to cause substantial risk in the defense posture of the United States. I'm not saying it's a bad idea, but I am saying we better be aware of the risks. Is a $50 billion chunk out of that $1 trillion deficit worth the risk? My answer actually is no. I think it's only worth the risk if you get broad-based deficit reduction that includes entitlement reform, tax increases, and comprehensive efforts to reduce the deficit.
What do you think Secretary Gates' budget legacy will be when he leaves office?
Well, he's saying a fair amount about it right now. He seems to be pushing back a bit against the president, and that's a fascinating thing to watch in his outgoing weeks as Secretary of Defense. Also, we might have to think of this as sequential. So under Gates, we may have certain cuts. Panetta will then come in and complete this review. And so I think Gates will be seen, as with most things, as sort of the careful custodian of the Defense Department, who was able to impose some discipline, but did it with caution and with pretty good arguments before he started slashing.
Michael O'Hanlon, a senior fellow at the Brookings Institution. Michael, thanks.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Let's do the numbers. Markets are down for the most part. The S&P flat right now. NASDAQ off 0.25%. The Dow off 9 points at 12,372. The world's largest device maker said today profit fell in its fourth quarter. Medtronic profit dropped 19% on expenses related to recent layoffs.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. and by Ally Bank, offering sleeping money alerts to notify customers when their money could be doing more. Learn more at allybank.com. Marketplace Innovation Reporting is supported by the 2011 Jaguar XJ. Learn more at a local dealer or at jaguarusa.com.
Sales of new single-family homes were up in April. It was a second month of sales gains, and prices increased as well, according to the Commerce Department. But realtors certainly aren't popping much champagne these days. There is one kind of real estate, though, that's on a tear, as Marketplace's Jeff Horwich explains.
The price of farmland has been growing faster than corn in a hot July. Prices are up more than 20% this year in parts of the Midwest. In Nebraska, Farm Bureau President Keith Olson says his own land is worth three times what it was 5 years ago. Bidding wars are common.
Neighbors get the fighting between who should own that quarter in between them. A lot of farmers have cash right now, and they are buying land at a very high price.
Crop prices are up, so it's tempting to expand. Interest rates are low, so it's cheap to borrow. And both of these things could change. Economist Robert Shiller called the tech bust and the housing collapse before they happened.
People often ask me, where's the next bubble? It's possible that it could happen in farmland.
But there are also real reasons for rising prices. The amount of farmland is essentially fixed, while the population keeps getting bigger and hungrier. And farmer Keith Olson says new technologies make his dry western Nebraska acres more productive and more valuable every year. I'm Jeff Horwich for Marketplace.
And finally, a study out of Europe says men who are more cultured are happier and healthier people. Researchers in Norway say cultured men are generally in better health, have lower levels of depression and anxiety, and are generally more satisfied with their lives, even more so than cultured women. What does a study define as cultured? Well, those who go to museums and galleries and theaters often. And how often are we talking about here? Let's just say enough time to replace the hours you would be spending on the couch, eating donuts and watching reruns of Roseanne. I'm Steve Chiotakis in Los Angeles on Twitter at Radio Chio. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
Investing comes with risks and rewards. So imagine a way to cut out the risk and still make a buck or two.
Some people, it might be liberating and empowering to just trade and not worry about the money that they're losing.
I'm Kai Rizdahl, social networking and investing. Match made in heaven or complete fantasy. The story next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.